No, it didn't happen so much. Actually, meditation is, sitting meditation is going quite well. And I have unusual problems with sleeping, which usually they don't appear. So that's my small problem, this retreat, just falling asleep a lot.
In sitting?
Yeah.
Possibly
he said you were using a lot of energy to be aware before and you've relaxed it, but you've relaxed it too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then the mind gets dull and sleepy. He says you need to bring in some wisdom, some, you know, investigation, so that the mind will stay alert. Yeah, in place of just effort, you also need to be a bit curious, interested in what's happening in the moment. For example, he said you can ask yourself, what is the mind knowing? You know, what is the mind? What is the object? How many objects can you know simultaneously? How clearly is the mind aware? What's the state of the mind? So that you notice these different things. What's the state of the mind and how is it changing with different circumstances? So this keeps the mind alert.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
One summary of your teachings is awareness, right view, and continuity in the practice. I think it's a very nice summary. The simpler, the easier to practice, and that's clear, deep, and simpler. At the same time, I wonder about one point. Because right view, in his teaching, always seems to be embedded into this direct awareness. It's understanding natures as natures, not as self. So it's an intuitive, it's a direct understanding, so to say. A right view also has this whole meaning of theoretical convictions. Mm. In the suttas of the Buddha, I would say at least a third of the suttas are critical assessments of contemporary views at his time. So there was a lot of, you know, right view is considered the primary element of the Eightfold Path. It's said to lead all other elements. And the meaning of that right view is not just the intuitive, it's of course the ultimate meaning of it. It's very important because that transforms. But before that, it also has this other meaning of how one views, how one sees things in a more, you know, convictions, beliefs, and, you know. So how do they relate to each other in his teaching? These more theoretical right views and this intuitive right view, this direct understanding of process and nature. Do you understand the question? How do these two relate? Because the theoretical ones are definitely a core part of the Buddha's teaching. It's not just about this. It's also about, you know, what do you believe in, what you consider is right. And so I'm very interested.
Okay. You must understand that when I relay this question to him, he will not know what that one third of the suttas and the theoretical right views are. Okay? Yeah, he will not know what all those are.
What is on the introductory sutta of the long discourses? The Buddha goes into 64 contemporary wrong views. He goes through all of them and says,
so he's not going to go into all that. Yeah?
I just expect how he sees this other meaning of right view, not just
so
this
we'll just
intuitive.
Talk about theoretical right view versus understood right view. Tua pyore, uze ya pyore, yogi iloka, tadi tame, tamadeti wime, tuime, nabra hua, tadi sasame. Tua pyore, diha, yankau nebo, dabi me, paya, o tamadeti o pyore kamare, o tamadeti, ho, shi tain tira ro. ဟိုဘာဝနာမယညာအနေနဲ့ဆိုရင်တော့အကောင်းဆုံးပေါ့ဒါပေမဲ့တုတမယညာအနေနဲ့မြတ်စွာဘုရားဟောထားတဲ့တုတ္တဏီထဲမှာဟိုသုံးပုံတစ်ပုံလောက်ကဟိုဒီ Tama deiti wo belo yu sa lu yare so a myai shi de de. A myai ho pho tha de de. A lo din ta khu belo sat sa ma le de. U sin tin na cha wa din na khu belo lo sat sa le.
Patama a long wa tu yara information ni ne tu pyaw lo yara information ni ne scan knowledge ba ya. A ya wo a yin san ji da. Tae wi tong ji de. Now ma ta phi phi ta baw paw la ma da ta ku ba nyan phit twa ma sa ma lo da scan knowledge ba. Ku nyan lo ma hoh de. ညာ ngale tapi bi information ya le bi lo intelligent to lo ညာ ari tat la piao ma
yeah
naw lo ma bhavana mya ညာ naw so ma la
yeah adika bhavana mya ညာ phit pho
e bo asa ma lo kho ya la bo lo da right view to yin sin za ji de sin za lai yin lu bi lu a thu ji bo khan za ya le a thu ji da bo
u sin the right view a ta khu wa shi de tu tu pyo de taut tan ne ma a mya yi so lo lu de ya tong jin na ta khu tong lo ya de bo
ba
u pa ma tu pyo de mya so phya တော့တန်ဟိုဒီကနေ့ကဲတဲ့မှာဟို6ဒိဋ္ဌိ64မျိုးမြတ်စွာဘုရားပေါ်ပြတယ်အဲ့လိုမျိုးတွေ तू ကမင်းနဲ့တပြည့်ပြည့်အဲ့ဒါကြီးအသေးစိတ်တော့ तू ကအ
များကြီးတော့ငါလည်းမမှတ်မိတော့ဘူးအရေးကြီးတာတရားထုတ်တဲ့နေရာမှာအတုံးကြတော့ခုနပြော nature ပဲ personal အနတ္တတဘောကိုအဆုံးယူလိုက်တာ
Okay so as far as he's concerned when we practice we don't have learned right view yet. We don't have understood right view. We borrow wisdom. So sutamaya panya, secondhand knowledge, whether through reading or hearing or from other people, we borrow wisdom. We theoretically understand the basis of right view. And he uses the simplest form, the way he understands it from his practice, and that is that everything is nature or as it is. And we bring this theoretical understanding by, from taking what we've heard, then we use our chintamaya panya, right? We use our own intelligence and our common sense to try and digest it. And to the degree that we can digest it, we can apply it to the practice, right? And as we practice, and we practice with awareness and right attitude, using the right view as much as we can, and there's continuity and there's momentum, at some point, and we can't know how or when, insight will arise. When insight into that right view arises, that's when we understand the right view for ourselves. It becomes our knowledge. Before that, we are just applying theoretical knowledge. That's how it's used in this practice.
Through investigating that sutamaya panya, that knowledge acquired from others.
You don't investigate, you just apply it.
Yeah, applying. But you also mentioned there is also chintamaya panya, which
you
is...
Before you practice.
Before you practice, I understand. There's these three basic wisdoms. First comes chintamaya panya, by the way, in all the sequences. So at the beginning, there's always one's own thinking,
one's own
reflection.
Yes.
And that's applied to what you hear from others. So the Buddha very clearly suggested to critically check
what
others teach and only accept what makes sense to oneself logically and what can be testified empirically.
Right.
And then it becomes an experience.
After practice and then you have an insight, then it becomes your experience.
So that's very, very interesting because those two first wisdoms, they have a lot to do with thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Sutamaya panya is acquiring knowledge.
Yeah.
One's own thinking is thinking.
Yes.
So thinking
right
plays
thinking.
A right thinking.
Yes.
But critically thinking also,
yes.
Checking.
Sure.
So thinking plays a big part in the Buddha's teaching. It relates to the first two wisdoms.
Yeah.
Before the intuitive third wisdom comes, which is through meditative realization.
Right.
So thinking, but very often thinking is seen as quite a disturbance. Not in his teaching. Okay.
ဘ
ာပြောလဲ။ तू မသိနားမလဲတာကြာနေတာပဲ။ तू ကဘာပြောလဲဆိုတော့ဟို
ဟုတ်တယ်အဲ့ဒါတိတ်ပြောချင
်။တုတ်တုတ်တမယပညာပညာနဲ့စိတ်တမယပညာအဲ့ဒါမြတ်စွာဘုရားလည်းဟောထားတယ်။ဟိုစိတ်တကိုစိတ်တမယဟိုသုံးပြီးတော့တုတ်တမယကိုလည်းသုံးသပ်ပြီးတော့ကိုလက်ခံနဲ့နားလဲတဲ့ကာလမတုတ်တန်အတိုင်းကိုလက်ခံနဲ့နားလဲတဲ့စမ်းကြည့်လို့အကျိုးရှိတယ်ဆိုမှသုံးနဲ့ယူတဲ့မြတ်စွာဘုရားပြောထားတယ်။အဲ့တော့ तू ကပြောတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့တုတ်တမယနဲ့စိတ်တမယပညာကိုစဉ်းစားရမယ်အဲ့တော့တွေးရမယ်စဉ်းစားရမယ်
တွ
ေးရမယ်သုံးသားမယ်အဲ့တော့ဒါပေမဲ့အထုံးမှုတွေမှာတဲ့တွေးတာကိုသူတို့က hindrance လို့ယူစားတယ်တပည့်ပဲဦးစေအလိုမသိဘူးနော်အော်တယ်အဲ့ဒါဆိုပြီးရတယ်
ဟိုတမထမှာမစဉ်းစားနဲ့လို့ပြောတယ်ဝိပဿနာမှာလို့တယ်စဉ်းစားတာဉာဏ်ကိုတုံးတာဉာဏ်အတုံးချ
So maybe for a samatha practice, if all you're doing is trying to develop concentration and peace, maybe thinking is a hindrance. But even then that's relative. But for a vipassana practice, he doesn't believe everything should be dhamma. So thinking mind is not a hindrance. Yeah, it becomes an object.
Thinking a pyatana mo. Thinking a nama pa. Definement a pyatana. သာမွေခုစမိုင်းဆိုရင်တုံးလို့ရတယ်တွေးတွေးတင်တယ
်
လက်စာပြတင်တာမလုံနဲ့မပြောနဲ့မစဉ်းစားနဲ့ဆိုတာမဟုတ်တာတွေ
မဟုတ်တာတွေ
ဟုတ်တာတွေကြတော့ပြောပဲစဉ်းစားမယ်လုံ
မယ် yeah so the buddha's teaching is he says the thinking mind is not the problem yeah behind the thinking mind there's a motivation the thinking can be motivated by defilement unwholesome or wholesome qualities and what the buddha taught was to avoid evil to do good, right? And avoid evil means to not do, not think or speak or act if motivated by defilement. But he said do good, which means to think, to speak, to act if it's motivated by wholesome, as much as possible.
Yeah.
ပြောဒါမဲ့လူတွေကစကားပြောနေတော့ညာမတုံးလို့
ညာမတုံးတော့
ပြောနေတယ်လို့ Yeah so actually when in the practice of meditation even in retreat centers Seara finds this a big a little bit of a paradox because one of the Buddha's teachings is to when speaking be aware that you're speaking with awareness and wisdom
Noble Eightfold Path like speech path
Yeah the Noble Eightfold Path includes right speech right so It's kind of a paradox that in retreats we try not to speak in order to be able to practice, and then we don't know how to speak wisely when we go home. But he says the problem also is if he says speak to yogis in retreats, then yogis also still do not apply awareness and wisdom when they speak. They just start talking and then they just, you know, they don't apply any wisdom about whether they should be speaking or whether they're speaking too long, whether they've lost their mindfulness. There's no application. They just want to talk.
တတိပဌာနာတော့မှာလည်းပါတယ်ဆိုတော့ဟိုကာယ ानु ပါဒနာမှာပါ talking meditation
yeah in the
satipatthana အလုံးအကျော်ပါတယ်သူ target တယ
်
သူတော့ဟင်အလုံးအလုံးဖြစ
် yeah in the satipatthana sutta in the first section the kayanupassana section speaking is mentioned the buddha says when silent know that you are silent when speaking know that you are speaking but he says in actual retreat practice everybody skips this because It doesn't work. Yogis will not apply themselves to be wise and mindful when they speak because it usually means that there's nothing much to say, which means you don't speak because you understand there's no need to speak. But yogis don't get that. They just speak and speak and speak.
Now, through a change in our mind, we can't speak about the mind. So, we can't speak about the mind.
Yeah. And in many of the practices, there is a desire to... maximize potential so they try to or optimize you know so they try to get yogis to calm down faster and one of the easiest ways is to not speak so then you know retreat settings become a no speaking setting
man do tadipatthana to ho ra yaita ma ho ra mo lu le ho lai da
but the satipatthana when the buddha gave the you know talk gave this sermon was not for people on retreat He gave the Satipatthana Sutta for people who live at home.
Right? Yeah.
In the Buddha's time, there were no retreat centers. People came to listen, they went home.
Retreat center load up.
So, but when there is a retreat setting, he says, it's very difficult to say, speak. Like speak if necessary to the yogis, because the yogis don't even consider if it's necessary anymore. So then... It's not possible to get them to practice because practice doesn't happen when people speak. So then they don't speak in retreat and then they never learn. So they go home and still don't really know how to apply being mindful when they speak. But when we're at home, he says, we can't not speak. We cannot even choose to not speak. If we are going to practice at home seriously, He says one of the things we need to do is be mindful when we speak.
I know Joseph I told her, "Lolo ya."
But if we are determined, if we are determined and we say we will do it, grit our teeth and try, we will definitely be mindful when we speak. We can be. And it's difficult. He says anything we start doing is difficult. It's difficult to learn to swim or cycle, whatever. He says, but if you keep doing it, trying again and again and again, you don't give up, you start getting the skill. Yeah. He says we come for retreat, and how many days do we have? 7 days, 10 days, 2 weeks? He says it's not much time. But at home, we have unlimited time. We can practice for as long as we like. If we don't make it today, tomorrow, there is another day. And we can keep trying.
So, I'm not going to be able to do it.
And in the when we talk about thinking, he says a lot of people practice to gain concentration and to become peaceful when they meditate. They think that meditation, the goal is peace. And if their goal is peace, then thinking mind is going to get in the way. Because you can't get concentration fast that way. So that's why they try to prevent thinking instead of seeing it the right way. But in the practice of vipassana, he says, we need to think. You know, we're practicing at home, teacher is not around. He says, and we have difficulty. What can we do? We have to think. We have to think, what did the teacher say? What did the Buddha say? What have I tried before? What will work? Shall I try this? Shall I try that? You have to think. If you don't think, then how can you continue with the practice? Want to make decisions, he says important decisions, you need to think. Wisely, calmly. Yeah, you can use the practice to help you to be calm, wise, and make decisions. Even, you know, siyadors, meditators, whoever, he says if there are things that they need to think about, they must think. If we are concerned with consequences of making mistakes, he says, then we have to think so that we can make the least mistakes. But thinking is not just like not just random abstract thinking. It's really using wisdom to use right thinking.
If we
ask why, he says, it's because we don't know something and we want to know. So we're starting to bring out our internal intelligence to bear upon what we don't know yet so that more can be understood. He says, the whole human civilization has progressed because of the WH questions.
What?
What, when, where,
why?
How? And the H. Yeah, so these are using our wisdom, yeah. He says how we view practice depends on how our teacher teaches us. He says his teacher never said that thinking is bad when you meditate. Teacher never said you can't think. But his teacher didn't encourage him to think either. But his teacher asked him questions. You know, he didn't give him answers. Like if he was doing something, his teacher would ask him a question. So what about this? And if he didn't have an answer, his teacher would say, go and practice. So he had to think about it and be aware so that he could find the answers. And from doing his own practice, he began to realize that this is how you discover, by questioning and being aware.
Yeah. ညင်ပဲညင်ပြီးတော့ဘာမှတတ်တက်လာအဲ့တော့ညံတနေ၃ပေးမှတော့ညံကိုတွေးပြရတွေးပြမှတော့အားကောင်းလာ
And over the years that he's taught the yogis he's also discovered he's also found out how yogis think and what yogis tend to do and most yogis tend to try to concentrate to get calm and there's also most yogis have practiced before and they also have teachings like you know you must have samadhi in order to develop wisdom which is true but it's like what sort of samadhi there's a whole range of samadhi and but people tend to aim very high and then this conflict arises so seeing that yogis are spending too much time just trying to be calm and forgetting that their goal is wisdom and so he tries to get them to reawaken that
no chala interest assignment is
nyan ni to inquiry
nyan sa thu bu adika tha pyo ni ya naw pai ya
to instead of using focus to just gain samadhi to let go a little bit of that to allow the mind to come alive and inquire yeah and so he gets people to if they are too quiet to actually question actively he's gone all over the world now and seems like maybe I don't know a majority of the yogis are focusing types yeah there are some who are not but yeah very rare
ဒါကြောင့်ခုနမြန်တုံးတာကိုဆွေးနွေးပေးရမြန်မြန်ဆွေးနွေးပေးမှာတဖြည်းဖြည်းသူတို့ကြားပူနာဝါရှိလာမှာတုံးလို့တက
် So that's why he talks about wisdom a lot and using our wisdom what we already have so that we recognize it we know how to use it we use it so that we can get more
စိတ်ဝင်စားဖို့အရေးကြီးစိတ်ဝင်စားရင်ဉာဏ်အလုပ်လုပ်အဲစိတ်ဝင်စားအောင်ဘာလုပ်ရမလဲဆို
တော့ Yeah interest
ဆရာမကိုမေးတယ်ကိုမဖြည့်မရှိသူစိတ်ဝင်စားလာ
Yeah interest is so important he says for the awakening of wisdom and he says you know if the teacher can awaken that interest that's the best they can do you know and if a question triggered by the
kwa ko ma sin sa tat de de chain ma syar ma sin sa pu
ye yeah da me kwa ko sin sa tat la ya
na pa ni kwa ko sin sa tat la
he says if we don't know how to think the teacher can give some pointers about they can suggest questions and so on something that might interest you but in the end the yogi must learn to question themselves to have that curiosity themselves
do yin do ti lan lo la khuna byo lo rising falling yo yo le tu mai da phang bai ma lo phit de tet su lo phit tet pha lo su a ya phie sha da tabat ja di ma tabat do khana le pyan ba phie ma ma ya le pyan raw ma
yeah
uma chin a myai si de kha ja ai sin sa da e si lo
yeah he says when his first encounter with this sort of asking was when his teacher asked him what he was practicing and he was doing rising falling and then his teacher asked him why is there rising falling of the abdomen so he said because I'm breathing then his teacher asked him why are you breathing and he didn't know the answer so his teacher said okay go on continue meditating but he had a question now he spent a week trying to find out on his own and after a week he found out he came back and told his teacher why but he says for us after a week we may have or may not have the answer and we have to go home we have some time pressure he said he had lots of time you know he was on retreat he for a long time at a time sometimes
megon shi do ma sik for sik wen la
yeah because of the question for him as a child it made him curious he really wanted to know
ame parama lova ne ma be lova ne mo lu cha la ta pa
yeah but he says initially he was also investigating with greed and that's why it took him a whole week yeah and then his mind learned
why lo chi ne
he would breathe and ask himself why he's breathing
now if he lo lo bao shot lai de khan yo yo le bian lou de chain jam ma
po la
pak ne twa lu chu chin lo chu de so la ya bwa ne po la
yeah he says and it was like yeah about a week later when he sort of gave up he was like he couldn't find the answer trying to find the answer then he just went back to being aware and he said suddenly it hit him it's like he was just being aware again suddenly he saw the intention to breathe every time he breathes that's
right
but because okay. The question was already asked
no
okay I'm really the focusing kind of meditator I think
သူ focus လောက်တတ်တယ်လူတဲ့
ဩရအလောက် focus အရသူနည်းနည်းတော့တုံးလို့ရပါလေ
yeah he says it has its uses yeah we must know also intelligently when to use it we must use our wisdom about when to use it yeah
I think this retreat I've been trying for the first time not to when I find that my mind is unclear not to focus more use more energy but to use this method to investigate instead and it's a real revelation to see what because most often it's defilements it's greed that comes up and when I can see it it really calms down
စိတ်ထဲမှာ तू ဖြစ်တဲ့ဟိုလှုပ်ရှားမှုတွေပါတယ်ခါတိုင်းဆိုရင်ね तू อ่ะဟိုပို့ပြီးတော့တမာတိဖြစ်အောင်လှုပ်ဖို့ကြိုးစားတယ်အခု तू မလှုပ်ဖက်နဲ့စုံစမ်းနေတယ
်
အောင့်ဩတယ်တဲ့သူသူတခုကိုသူ့ကိုဖွင့်ပြလိုက်တယ်လို့ပဲအဲ့လိုစုံစမ်းရင်စိတ်ကငြိမ်သွားတယ်သူအောင့်ဩနေတယ်တမာတိဖြစ်အောင်မလှုပ်ဖက်နဲ့
ဉာဏ်ပိုင်းတမာတိဖြစ်တယ
် Yes because wisdom brings samadhi with it
Wisdom ရှိရင်တတိလည်းရှိတယ်တမာတိလည်းရှိတယ်
Wisdom is really the king, he has said. Wisdom is the leader. When wisdom is present, all the other four spiritual faculties come into balance, right? So all of them will become present.
Yeah,
sati, samadhi, viriya, sadda. All of them come with it. With
Someone
wisdom.
Should have told me this 10 years ago.
Somebody actually...
Should have told me this 10 years ago.
Information, yeah.
Yes, so right information is so important.
Yeah. But I have a very practical question.
Mm.
When I encounter aversion, and I find this several times, it's like some kind of sound that I really don't like, and I can look at it, and I can look at another sound that is just as loud, but I don't have any aversion to it. And it's like, why? But I don't find the answer. I don't find the reason why I don't like it so much.
Oh,
yes. Di lau je, po je, bangju, di tan sui, di chai hu. Tapi tu lai share, shalom ya.
Amai, utin thong fit apel na.
He'll tell you a story. He was sitting, this yogi was sitting in the Dhamma hall. And I just described the Dhamma hall in Shui U Min. It's quite big, very, very large, wider than this. And on both sides of the Dhamma hall, there are doors. The doors open at the front and as well as the sides. Okay?
Yeah. Now, ဒုတိယချိန်ကျကလေးလာဆော့ကလေးလာဆော့တော့ပူပြစ်လာ
ဘ
ာလို့ပူပြစ်လဲဆိုတော့ဘလူးမလာမတားဘူးလား ကလေးကိုပြောမယ်လို့မရှိဘူးထိမ့်မယ်လို့မရှိဘူးလားဆိုတော့ဒေါ်လာပူကြီးလာဒါပေမဲ့ကလေးပဲဆိုတော့
ရော
ပါဗျာနောက်ဆုံးမှအဲ့မှာတူတူလေးတာအဲ့မှာသူဘလူးမမလင်းနိုင်ထပြောတော့ရောဂီနဲ့အထက်မှာတမန်ဖြစ်စကားပြောနေသူဘလူးမတီးမခံအတန်ချေရနဲ့မဆိုင်
So this yogi was sitting in the Dhamma hall, and so there, the door on the right side leads into the village. So first there were several dogs that came to the door and started having a fight, loudly, and he got a little annoyed. But then he's like, it's just dogs, what can you do with dogs? So he calmed down again. And then after a while, some children came to play. And the children began making a lot of noise. And again he was angry. And this time he was more angry because he was like, where are the parents? Isn't somebody telling these children what to do? But then in the end he was like, but they're children. This is their nature. So again he calmed down.
Children are nene kwe lao mchewu.
The children weren't as loud as the dogs. Yeah, dogs are just completely out of control, right? There was a pack of dogs which lived around the center because it's near the village. And then, so he's calmed down again. And then finally, he heard some whispering in the Dhamma hall. Two ladies sitting in the Dhamma hall at the back, whispering. And then he really couldn't take it. He got up and went and scolded
them.
Why is it that the softest sound made him lose control? What do you think?
I guess it's because of some values, some views I have that you're not allowed to talk there or something.
Yeah,
right, that's it.
You are better than here.
Yes, and where is the view? Where is this idea, this value system?
Doi.
In our thoughts.
Dora Pibi, so there, I don't go, Dora Pibi, so Dora feeling, I do it, I don't know.
Yeah. So the moment we have aversion, he says there will be thoughts and there will be feelings associated with the aversion. We must see all three to understand the full picture.
I just have to wait until they come up because sooner or later they will.
Yeah, yes, you have to wait and watch for them.
The thoughts are there.
It's just that you don't see them. So while you're watching the feeling associated with the aversion, watch out for the thoughts. One time, Seattle was practicing meditating in his room at the center, and in the village, there's always a lot of they play this loud music over a loudspeaker system into the whole village. So, yes. Yeah. So that day they had a loudspeaker system playing and he could hear it and he was being aware and his mind was feeling quite happy. So he asked the question, why is the mind feeling happy? And then he looked and it was because his mind understood that this was just an object. For him, sound is just an object. His mind had no aversion to it at all. And then he asked another question. Would the mind have the same reaction to every sound? He said, then that was another investigation to be carried out on a much longer detail.
Thank you.
So sometimes when I have a clear mind, it's quite easy for me to observe like aversion or greed. But for delusion, it seems like much more difficult. So I'm wondering, all the other things which I'm observing are
moha.
Are they automatically moha then, or yeah?
What is automatically moha?
I mean, so if it's not greed or aversion, because for me it's not, I really can't see it at all when delusion is at work. So
moha ma mie lo tua loba doda ma shi moha la ko la je moha mie shi le loba doda na ma
loba phi moha pa le doda phi le moha pa moha ka to to loba ne doda moha jong phi ne
yeah he says you know delusion is the godfather. It's always there. All the others do their work because of delusion. So behind greed is delusion. Behind aversion is delusion. And when there is no greed or aversion and the mind is dull or blank or not understanding something, then there is delusion there. Some people have awareness, good samadhi, and still have delusion.
Upama.
For example.
Upama, to tia thai ni ne lap piao da. Thai ne lap piao da, lan a. Lan mi phun wo ji da.
Yeah.
Ala tu lan ne so da kiti da wen da.
Yeah.
Tadi le kaung ne, tamadhi le kaung lo wen di sensation a dei ba pho da. Ama tu ma tu knowledge ma shi de kha ja lo, nga le so lo tu sin na lai da. Ama moha wen lai da ne. Kiti da wen da.
For example, he gives, sometimes yogis sit meditation, their eyes are closed, and then they feel like, say, their arm has disappeared. Yeah, and this is normal. When there's good samadhi and the mind stops thinking about the form of the arm, and it just knows the sensations, it can feel like there is no arm, just knowing sensations. But when they don't have right knowledge, when they don't understand what this phenomenon represents, what this experience represents, he says yogis can get alarmed. Some can get fascinated, think there is something special. Some get so alarmed, they open their eyes and then realize the hand is still there. But when there is not right information, then even though they have awareness and good samadhi, which brings this experience, there can be delusion.
Mm. black and white ဆိုတော့တိတာဒီလိုအခုညံဖြစ်လိုက်တာခုနမောဟရဲ့စံကျင်ပဲကြီးတိတာ
The times when delusion is most obvious is when you have some understanding arise, like an insight. Because when an insight arises and you see things differently, you realize that before delusion was operating, and now you see things
before truly.
Yeah, before you didn't understand, and now you understand. And then you can see the difference, because wisdom is the opposite of delusion. And delusion works. It has a wide network, right? It is in everywhere. So doubt is delusion.
Doubt
signifies that the mind has not enough information, which is why it can't make a decision or understand what to do. So doubt clearly is because of delusion. We see kaisa ye tinamaida.
Tinamaida. Doubtless.
Torpor. Laziness. Laziness, sleepiness, dullness, all that is delusion, because the mind, if there was understanding, the mind would be awake, alert, interested, fresh. Right? Yeah. He says people who are intelligent don't feel bored.
Yeah.
People who have a lot of delusion, he says, they get lazy, they don't want to do things, you know, they're not active. I just translated. And when there is just they call it mental proliferation, papancha, I think they call it. It's when the mind is lost in thought, basically. He says then certainly we are not there. We're lost in thought. Yeah, so there's delusion.
Also, when I'm aware, then I'm watching how mindfulness goes away. And it is very interesting, because when the awareness is getting weaker and it notices that it's getting weaker, and then it sees how the thinking, how thinking comes, and it really sees how it is going, covering awareness. It's like a fog, you know. It's like really slowly creeping over what is left from awareness. And of course, when the mind notices that, then awareness is fully there, and then it concentrates on something.
The dia belum pun lala tiri. Namun tapi biar tui dia when bro auto melu mien lala. Hello mien. When effort and wisdom become less in the mind, that's when the mind starts to get dull and then start drifting.
And it sees it, and then, you know, and then it changes, and then it goes, then the mind finds looks for a topic, and then it goes on, and then it can.
The DPM will be so into a separate show.
People
don't catch this beginning when the mind is starting to fade and drift. They